Judges chapter 2 is where we will be this evening. Judges chapter 2. And before we go any further, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for being here. And Lord, thank you that not only are we here, but you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, there will you be in our midst. And Lord, we take that as a promise. And Father, we take that as a sure thing. So thank you for your presence. Pray that you'll be ministering to us. That Father, you'll take your words and apply it to our heart as you see fit. And we ask for your work to be done in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, something that I've heard over the years in Christian circles is the phrase, which is the title of the message this evening, and that is the second generation syndrome. And what that means is, so often you have one generation who love the Lord, they want to serve Him with all their heart, but then a second generation comes up and they don't love the Lord like their parents did, and for many, they completely turn away from the Lord. And this syndrome has been taking place just about from year dot. Adam and Eve loved the Lord, but Cain didn't follow in their ways. We think of Moses, a great leader. He spoke to God. He was used in a mighty way. But there's no mention of his children following in his ways. It wasn't one of Moses' sons that took over that leadership, but that was given to Joshua, someone very different from his family. Apart from when they were young, there's no mention of them. And they didn't get the blessing of going into the promised land, just like many others. And it seems as though they didn't follow in their father's footsteps. If you think that anyone would listen to their father, it'd be the sons of Moses, having spoken to God so intimately. We know of Eli, the priest, and how his sons certainly abused the position that they had and didn't walk in his ways in many ways. We know of Samuel, who took over that. He was a great prophet of God, but the children of Israel didn't want his sons to take his place. They didn't trust him. They didn't walk in the same ways as Samuel. We have Hezekiah, the king, one of the greatest of Judah, yet his son Manasseh was the worst in all of Judah. And if you go through the Bible, you'll see this syndrome where you have one man or one woman love the Lord so heartily, and then the children of that person doesn't seem to do the same. And sadly, we see that even in the generations to come and in our everyday generation as well, where you have people who love the Lord, but the next generation that follows doesn't. And so this second generation syndrome, it's alive and well even in our day today. And the problem can be with individuals, and it can also be with generations of people as well. And this is what we discover with this generation who followed after the generation that followed Joshua. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. This is our last message in Conquering Canaan. We'll move on to something else after that. But I thought it'd be fitting to look at the generation that came after that one that followed Joshua. And it's really the second half of the message that I preached 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we looked at that generation who followed after Joshua, and we saw that there were wonderful characteristics about that generation. They were conquerors, and they went out and they fought against the enemy, and they conquered most of the land. We also saw how they had conviction, where they trusted the Lord and they wanted to follow Him. Also, they continued the work even after Joshua had passed away. But we also saw that they made some mistakes, and these mistakes affected their children in a terrible way. And the greatest mistake was that they let the enemy live in the land when they shouldn't have. And they did this through various ways. One was by compromising with the enemy, where they made allegiances with them instead of destroying them as God commanded. As well as this, they grew content and they didn't finish the battles that they should have finished in the land. And they allowed some of the enemy to live as well. That was one of their problems. We also saw how they mustn't have taught their children the way that they were meant to teach them, because we're told that the generation grew up and they didn't know the Lord or His ways. And so when they were instructed to teach the Lord and to instruct their children, there were many that didn't even know the Lord. So they failed. But what took place from here on in is something that sadly happens far too often in the next generation from godly people, and that is we see a downhill slide. And they rejected the Lord, and they gave themselves over to the sins of the depraved nations that was around about them. And I must tell you that I'm not silly enough to think that that's not going to happen with our church here and the younger people or the people that are here in this church. That can happen just as easily for us as it's happened in the past. Statistics say that there are going to be some who come here regularly as children of godly people who won't follow in the ways of the Lord. That's the way it happens, sadly. I've been involved in as a leader of three age groups of teenagers in years gone by, excluding this church. And two of the youth groups, they had predominantly all church kids. One of them had 50-50. And as I look back on those ones, or they're all adults now, and I would say about 50% of those youth groups are following the Lord. And the other 50%, they don't love the Lord at all. And they may have had godly parents who feared the Lord, but when they left home, for many of them, even before they left home, they didn't choose to follow the Lord, they don't go to church, and they have no interest in the things of God. And I certainly pray that it won't be a 50% rate here with our church. But we'll have a clearer understanding of that in 10 to 20 years from now. And so, sadly, it's been the case far too often in too many churches when it comes to that second generation. And in this passage in Judges, we see the process that takes place when it happens to an individual or to a whole generation. It doesn't just have to happen to young people, it can happen to adults as well, but we see the usual process that takes place for people to gradually go away from the Lord. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. Maybe it may help you. Maybe it will help parents to see if you can see that in your children. If you're a child of a Christian parent, you may be an adult, but you're still a child of someone, and you're that second generation, well, then you may see it in yourself as well. And it's good for us to keep in mind these things because it never happens overnight. You never get a young person or an adult who loves the Lord, and then the next day they wake up and they no longer have a desire to follow the Lord. It doesn't happen that quick. It is a gradual process. A process that, if left unchecked, usually leads to a falling away. But it is a process that if it can be seen and acknowledged and things done about it, well then you can save yourself from a lot of heartache down the track. And so let's have a look at the process that we see here with this generation that followed after the generation of Joshua. And the first thing we see is they forgot what they had been taught. Now, I may be contradicting myself a little bit here, but I do believe it's legitimate. Let's read Judges chapter 2, verse 10. It says there, "And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Now, I already said that more than likely the biggest problem why there was a generation, this generation grew up and they didn't know the Lord, was because the parents didn't do their job in teaching the children the way that they should have. But there is no doubt there would have been some parents that did the job right and they did teach their children how they should have been teaching. If you turn back to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, "I do know of one man that would have done this job." It says in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, these are the words of Joshua, and he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We, he says. And so Joshua made it very public that he was determined that he and his children were going to serve the Lord. And we have to just accept that on the basis of that, he would have done everything possible to make sure that his children did follow the Lord. And that would have been involved teaching them and explaining to them the works of the Lord so that they would grow up to fear the Lord and to want to serve the Lord and to seek him. But we have no mention of Joshua's children in the Word of God. It wasn't one of Joshua's sons that took over the leadership. There is no mention of his sons or daughters serving the Lord. We don't know if they stayed faithful to the Lord, but we do know that this generation departed from the ways of the Lord. And you would think that if Joshua did this, there would have been other families who did this as well. To what extent, I don't know. But there would have been some in that following generation who had parents who did the right thing. Yet we know that this generation as a whole deserted the Lord. Now, why did they do this? Well, we know that they didn't accept the teaching of the Lord, or they didn't agree with what they were taught, or maybe they just thought they knew better. We're not told why they didn't follow the Lord. But it generally starts with people refusing to accept the teaching from the generation before them, or thinking they know better than what their parents are teaching them. And this is generally where it starts, regardless of what generation you talk to, where they won't listen to the advice and the teaching of the generation that went before them, thinking they know best. Now, it is true, there are probably some pieces of advice that aren't Bible-based, and it may not be worth listening to. And there are some families or parents that may find a devil under every rock and go overboard and to the extreme. But on the whole, parents know what they're talking about. And their teaching should not be discarded lightly. Most parents know what they're talking about. But I'm surprised at how many young people pick and choose what teachings they agree with and what they will disagree with. It seems as though if it interrupts the way they want to go, or if it goes against what they want to do in their life, well, then they will take that piece of advice they get from their parents or some godly people, elderly people, they'll take that as unwise advice. Rarely do young people go to the Word of God and they work out what God says before they make a decision on what they believe is right or wrong. That is getting scarcer and scarcer. So many, they work out what they want to be doing and what they think is best, and then if God's Word seems to contradict what they want to do, well, then they'll manipulate God's Word to make it say what they want, or they just ignore it anyway. That's a dangerous place to be in. Question you need to ask yourself, if you have parents that love the Lord and serve the Lord, is what they teach you, what you get taught maybe from this church when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to standards of life, is do you base what they say on the Word of God and you go and match it up the Word of God and say, yes, they are right because this is what God says, or yes, they're wrong because this is what God says, but do you listen to what they say and then go and confirm it in the Word of God, or do you just reject it simply on the basis of because it disagrees with what you want? Very important to make sure that we don't think we know better than the generation that's gone before us. But often that's the mistake that many generations make. But as a general rule, a sign that someone is starting to slip and go the wrong direction is they will reject or ignore the teachings of the generation that has gone before them. Now, some do it out of a stubborn heart. Others may do it in sincerity, and I know the Lord knows the difference. But when it is rejected or ignored out of a a stubborn, proud heart, generally the next thing that happens is they fall and they sin. And we see here in chapter 2, verse 11, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And so they grew up and they didn't know the Lord for whatever reason. They rejected the teaching of the Lord if they had godly parents. And what do we find next? They served Balaam and did evil in the sight of the Lord." This generation began to do the very thing that God said not to be doing. God said that they shouldn't go and serve the other gods. And now we find that they are serving Balaam. Now the reason for doing this, we're not explained. Maybe because of the mistakes of their parents, they grew up with those nations, saw how they served Balaam and other gods, and as they grew up, that worship didn't seem that bad to them. And they thought, well, you know, these are my friends, I see them often, I see their worship, I think I could probably serve Balaam and Jehovah, and it won't really affect me. Maybe that's how it started. Or maybe because those other nations were left because the parents didn't finish the job, they saw them with their practices and they were lured by the sinful practices of Baal worship, and so they just gave in to their sinful desires. It may not have been a matter of they're just not sure what's right and wrong. They may have just simply known it was wrong, but they chose to do wrong nonetheless. But whatever the reason, they didn't accept what they were taught. Every parent who did the right thing by their children would have taught them that the gods of the other nations were evil and they would have nothing to do with it, and if they did, God would judge them. And they would have had this teaching for those who had godly parents ringing in their ears constantly. Yet for the children who were taught these things by their parents, they still chose to get involved with this worship. Maybe they thought it wouldn't hurt them. Maybe they thought they can enjoy these things and still remain faithful to Jehovah. But whatever the reason, the days of their parents were gone by this stage. There was no doing right in the sight of God in Israel. There was no destroying the idols of the false religions. There was no killing these people who worshipped these false gods as God commanded them. There was no fighting for the Lord earnestly anymore. And in many ways, it seemed what all their parents did in the generation before, it seems as though it was all done in vain. You know, their children are now the worshippers of false gods. Their children are practicing evil things. Their children are sinners in the sight of God. I dare say it would have broken the hearts of those adults when they discovered what their children and the following generations got themselves into. And it would be sad. It is sad when families make stands, when adults seek to serve the Lord and then they see their children grow up and reject the Lord completely. You wonder, wow, seems a little bit in vain, all those things we did. And this is where those who forget what they have been taught usually end up doing. Those who think they know best, that they can do things better, or there's an easier way, usually end up in some sort of sin. And I've seen it many a times when people know that think they know better than their parents or their pastor or some godly man or woman in their church, when they try to give them advice and they reject it, and so they go their own way and they end up falling or committing sin in one way or another. Someone goes against godly advice and moves to a place for work or for other reasons that has no good church. And they think they're going to be all right. They can go against that advice. And then as time goes by, they end up sinning and their hearts grow cold. A couple can think they can ignore the godly advice that they receive in how they should conduct themselves as they're going out. And then they end up in sin. Some have ignored the godly counsel about the type of friends that they should be having and what company they should keep. And they end up sinning. Some ignore the godly counsel of staying faithful to a local church and being faithful to that local church. And they just flutter about and they don't have any stability in any church, and they end up getting trapped in one way or another. You know, I'm sure the parents of these Israelites said, "Don't go and watch that sinful worship, because you'll be drawn to it and you'll be tempted and you'll be taken away." I'm sure there were many godly parents who said, "Don't hang around those other nations, and because they'll become your friends, they'll become the ones you fall in love with, and you'll marry these ones, and then you'll be swept away by their false religion." But they probably thought that they could make friends with these ones, they could go and watch and do whatever they want, and it will not affect them. I'm sure they thought they knew better. And before long, they were sinning in ways they never imagined. And 9 out of 10 times, it works out like this, when someone thinks that they know better than the godly generation that went before them. And if you have godly parents, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you need to be very careful when you think you know better than them. It puts you in a place of danger, and generally it results in sin. Now, the reality is, though, all of us go through stages where we think we know better than the generation before. That's sadly a part of growing up in many ways, because we generally grow in wisdom. And when you're younger, you're often unwise. Praise God for wise young people who don't act like that. But the general consensus is most young people are not wise, and they think they know better than the godly generation before them. But we all sin. We can't deny that. But if we see the mistakes that we've made and we repent of those things, well, then the wonderful news is we can still enjoy that forgiveness from God and His grace towards us. And that's the blessing. But if we choose to remain in that state, once we have sinned, our hearts will start to grow cold and start to grow hard, and then it won't be a matter of just sinning against God, but it will be a matter of forsaking the Lord God. And that's when we start to get in a lot of trouble. And that's what we see here. They first didn't listen, they then began to sin, and then we see this generation forsook the Lord. And we see that in verse 12. Of Judges 2, "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." It's one thing to fall and to sin. Happens to everyone. And the reality is we all probably stay in that place of sin sometimes longer than what we should. But the next downward stage is to forsake the Lord, and I believe that's when the Lord is grieved the most. You know, in a marriage, that husband and wife are going to have disagreements. There's going to be arguments. One is going to act in a way that hurts the other, and there needs to be forgiveness and reconciliation and repentance. You know, there's good times and hard times in marriages, but I tell you what would hurt the most is when one does not want to be married any longer. That's when it really will shatter somebody. And this is what it basically had come to with the children of Israel. In the Old Testament, Jehovah talked to Israel as his wife. They were married in that sense. Just like in the New Testament, we are the bride of Christ. When with Jehovah the Father, he talks to them as a husband with his wife. But we see here that Israel no longer wanted to be married. They no longer wanted to be the one, Jehovah to be the one that they worship, and they bowed down and worshipped other gods. They had forsaken him for Baal and Ashtaroth and others. And you can understand why the Lord was provoked to anger after all he had done, after all he had continued to do, even when they were living in a sinful state, how he graciously had provided for them, yet they ignored him and they went to devilish worship. And brethren, this is the next stage for those who sin and they stay there. Your heart grows cold, your interests change, your mind goes to other things. And you no longer want to have Christ as your Lord, and you no longer pursue Him as an interest. Other things become your interest. Other things become your idols. And we can all fall into that. And the Lord has to sit back and watch His children forsake Him. And it must be a sad thing when the Lord sees His people once being on fire for the Lord, yet they've forsaken Him for others. And when that happens, we see that God, out of love, must step in. And that's what we see. Fourthly, God's fury was upon them. In verse 14, as we read, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies." God couldn't sit back and just watch them disobey Him like this any longer. He had to do everything possibly He possibly could do to bring them back. And so He sent nations to punish them. And they suffered, they were humiliated, they experienced physical pain and physical defeat. And they discovered that God will not be mocked. And a man or a nation will have to reap what they have sown. And it goes on in verse 15 and says, "And whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." And we see here a generation that had truly failed in every way. They didn't conquer any of the land, unlike their parents. They didn't see any miracles from God's hand as He blessed them, unlike His parents. They failed in the battles. When they went out to war, they lost, unlike their parents. And they forsook the Lord, unlike their parents. And they left a terrible legacy for their children. I don't want to be harsh, but that sounds like a generation of failures. You know, when you look at, when you consider it, their parents had done so much work for them that they were in a prime position where they could enjoy all the blessings of the promised land without hardly any of the work. It was all laid there for them. Yet they didn't enjoy it. And you see this happen with so many children who grow up in Christian homes. There may be husband and wife, and they've come from unsaved families, and they've had to do all the hard work to bring themselves out of the mire of sin and set up a godly family and set up a family that honors the Lord. And they've had to cop the criticisms from their unsaved family because of that, and they've suffered so many things, and they've made so many sacrifices to bring this godly family into being. And so when their children grow up, they've had it all laid out before them. They can just enjoy the blessings of serving the Lord as they seek. They don't have to suffer like their parents. Yet they don't take that opportunity. And they make some big mistakes because of that. And if you're a second or a third or a fourth generation Christian, there's some very important lessons for us. You know, the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." If you are a second or third generation Christian, be sure that you don't have that evil heart of unbelief where you depart from the Lord after your parents have done so much for you. Also, we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We should never be foolish to think that it won't happen to us. I have godly parents. I can play with sin. I can sort of compromise in so many areas, but I won't be drawn away. Don't be foolish to think that won't happen, because that's what happened with this generation. We need to make sure that we're not on the slide. And what is the slide? Well, the first part is you start to ignore the teachings of the godly generation before you. You may ignore it, you may reject it, thinking you know better. And then the next stage is you start to sin in areas where you know you shouldn't be doing it for one reason or another. But then the next stage from that is you remain in that and your heart starts to get harder and harder to the point where God is forced to bring chastisement upon you. And if you're foolish enough to still remain stubborn, that's when your heart gets very hard. Now, I don't know the hearts of young children. Generally, you're forced to come here. And so, who knows? But if you're an adult and you're still here and you're a second generation, I would suspect that's not where you are. But it's something we all need to be very well aware of, because this generation was truly foolish. Their parents had done so much, prepared the way, but they didn't take hold of it. And that's the lesson for us this evening, that we shouldn't be unwise, but enjoy the blessings that we have received from the generations who have gone before us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we have many examples left in your word for us to see what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And Lord, I thank you on behalf of each person who is here who have had godly parents who have paved the way for them. And I pray for each one of us who have had that, that, Lord, we would not take that for granted, understanding that to whom much is given, much will be required, and that, Lord, we would go on further than what our parents did because of the wonderful head start that we have had, and that, Father, we would learn the lessons of this generation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.